Very thankful to the Chad Burns for presenting their ministry to us this morning. I have a little exhortation just to add on to what he was saying. Could not resist after seeing where we are in Colossians with what he was talking about today. Where we're picking up in Colossians, we're in chapter 1, verse 24 to verse 29. It says, "Now I rejoice in my sufferings for your sake, and in my flesh I am filling up what is lacking in Christ's afflictions for the sake of his body, that is the church, of which I became a minister according to the stewardship from God that was given to me for you, to make the word of God fully known, the mystery hidden for ages and generations, but now revealed to his saints. To them God chose to make known how great among the Gentiles are the riches of the glory of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Him we proclaim, warning everyone and teaching everyone with all wisdom, that we may present everyone mature in Christ. For this I toil, struggling with all his energy that he powerfully works within me." Let's pray. Dear God, we pray that you would help us in understanding your word this morning and connecting it with what we just saw and heard of missions throughout the world. Lord, may we be driven to share the gospel with others just as Paul was, even to the point that we count suffering as something to be rejoiced over. Lord, we pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. As he was speaking, I was thinking about the fact that some people, when they retire, go into mission service. When I was in China, there were a couple couples that were serving there with me who were retirement age and nevertheless were in China serving alongside me. And as I was thinking about this, I was thinking, yes, but when somebody gets to retirement age, they could maybe do something like that. But I don't know about going to somewhere like Vietnam and serving there. But that was so wonderful to hear testimony of a Vietnam vet who, after retiring, went back to begin sharing the word of God with the people there. Now, I know that one of the things that holds us back, maybe the thing that holds us back the most from sharing the gospel with others as we ought to, is suffering. You know, in some sense, we look at it as maybe it's going to be uncomfortable to bring up this topic with somebody. Maybe they will get angry, or maybe it will be an awkward change in the conversation, or maybe I'll get some repercussions where I work, or et cetera, et cetera. We're afraid of suffering. And so we don't want to bring up the gospel with other people. Happens so much. And we come up with many excuses to stop ourselves from doing it. But look at Paul. Paul says, Colossians 1, verse 24, "Now I rejoice in my sufferings for your sake, and in my flesh I am filling up what is lacking in Christ's afflictions for the sake of his body, that is the church, of which I became a minister according to the stewardship from God that was given to me for you, to make the word of God fully known." Paul's suffering was not a redemptive kind of suffering. Some people have read this verse and wondered, is this saying that Paul needed to suffer in some way to add or complete his salvation or to work toward completing the salvation of the Colossians who he was writing to? No, certainly not. You know, the Bible is very clear in many places that Christ's redemptive work for us was complete, and it is by grace alone, through faith alone, and what Christ did alone that saves us. Paul is talking about proclaiming the gospel. Just before this verse and just after this verse, he says that he had been made a minister by God for the express purpose of sharing God's word with other people. Another word that he uses a little bit later is that of a stewardship. He was given a stewardship to proclaim this gospel to other people. And so, Christ's redemptive sufferings for the sake of the world have all been completed. But the message of the gospel has not yet reached everyone in the world. And that involves necessarily some suffering to get that message out to people. And boy, Paul suffered a lot. More than I ever have, and more than probably anybody else here has, I don't know, but certainly more than most. Paul I would never want to be on a boat with Paul. Let me put it that way. Paul was shipwrecked 3 times. You know, if I talked a little while ago about how it would be so nice to have a time machine to go back and see some of these things, but if I were to go back and Paul were to invite me on a boat, I'd say, no thanks, I'll walk around. I'll go the other way. Because we know that when Paul got on a boat, he got shipwrecked. It happened 3 times. Paul was once stoned almost to death. They thought he was dead. There was a town that got so angry at him that they stoned him until he looked dead. I don't know if that meant that he would have been knocked unconscious and so he wasn't moving anymore, breathing very shallow. They thought he was dead. And it says they drug him out of the town. So he's just out cold, bleeding from stones. I'm assuming they're dragging him by the feet until they get him out of the town, leave him there, and just go back in, just leaving his corpse outside of this town. He woke up, and he got back up and went back into the town. When he went to Jerusalem one time, a big crowd was stirred up against him. He wasn't trying to be provocative. He just wanted to be a part of what the temple was doing and what was going on there. But people didn't like him, and they knew about his reputation as one who was sharing the gospel with other people. And they saw him. They saw an opportunity to accuse him of wrongdoing when they saw that there was a Gentile with him. And they blamed him for having taken him somewhere that he should not. Accused him, rather, and this hadn't happened. They stirred up this big crowd, and ultimately he had to spend a lot of time in prison. And he was in prison multiple times, not just for this. And prison in Rome, prison has never been fun. But especially in the days of Rome, prison was not fun. Because the Romans' opinion of prison was, we will provide the cell, we will provide the darkness, and we will provide the beatings. You provide the rest. And so if they wanted food, if they wanted clothing, they needed to have friends because Rome wasn't going to give it to them. In their opinion, if you are worth anything, I mean, you were in jail, so that your worth is questionable to begin with if we put you in jail. But if you are worth anything, people are going to bring you the food and the things that you need. And so you spend a lot of time in jail, people having to bring him what he needed. And he was beaten there wrongly, even though he was a Roman citizen and should not have been. Ultimately, Paul gave his life. Ultimately, he died for the sake of preaching the gospel. And all of this, he said, he rejoiced in, and he considered it as filling up what was lacking in Christ's afflictions. This tells us that when we are afflicted for the sake of the gospel, Jesus is as well. Jesus feels, Jesus cares when you suffer for proclaiming the word to someone else. Consider that we are a body, for one. The Bible makes very clear that the church is a body, and it's the body of Christ. And Jesus is the head of the body. He feels, he knows, he cares when the church suffers. Paul, before he became a Christian, was persecuting the church. Jesus called him out on it and said, Paul, Paul, why are you persecuting me? As Paul persecuted others, so he persecuted Jesus. Jesus knows, Jesus cares when you suffer for the sake of proclaiming the gospel to other people. And Paul suffered a lot for that. But he did it with joy, and he did it with rejoicing. How could that be so? Well, I remind you of what we just heard. That's a big part of how it can be so, how you can be rejoicing. Yes, I imagine going out into a jungle somewhere and cutting through brush to get to a tribe is not comfortable. At the church that we came from before here, we supported some missionaries who worked in Africa, and they had contracted malaria 10 times. Malaria. 10 times. That's very uncomfortable. But they were extremely happy people. And you know how they could be happy people? It's because it was worth it to see these people come to know Christ as their Savior was reward in and of itself. But to join with Christ, be like him in his suffering, to feel fellowship with him through that suffering is also a cause for rejoicing. This, too, was what he was called to do. He was made a minister to do this. When he became a believer, God spoke to him the very memorable words, "I will show him how much he must suffer for my sake." Paul was filling out his ministry calling as he suffered for proclaiming the gospel to other people. You and I, although in some ways different from Paul, in another way are not so different from Paul. We have the same stewardship. I hope that you think of yourself as a steward rather than as an owner. It will change the way you live. Everything that you have been given by God, you have been given as his steward. So that means the home that you are living in, you are a steward of. You are charged to exercise oversight of it and use it how God would have you to do. And 9 times out of 10, God wants us to be sharing the things that he gives us. He's given you a home. You can invite people into your home and show them hospitality. He's given you an abundance of resources. You can reach out to people who are in need and help them. He's blessed you even financially. You can help to support missions works throughout the world through those financial blessings that God has given you. He's also given you the gospel. You know the message. You have the words. You have the mouth. You have the hand. You have various ways. Now, thanks to the printing press too, various ways that you can work to get that message out to people. And I just want to present to you this morning that Paul thought it was something to rejoice over when he suffered for presenting the gospel to other people. And I would say and hope you look at it that way too. Maybe God, even if you're retired here, maybe God can call you out of the country to go somewhere and proclaim the gospel to people there. But there's all kinds of people around you too that need to hear the gospel. And there's all kinds of ways to go about supporting that movement. All of it might involve a little bit of suffering, but think about the wonderful, wonderful joys and reasons to rejoice when people come to knowledge of Christ as their Savior. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. We pray, Lord, you help to ignite in us a desire to share with others the hope that is within us, Jesus Christ, our hope of glory. Lord, may we be bold to go out and share with friends, acquaintances, a reason for the hope that is within us. Help us, Lord, to support others as they do so, and help us, Lord, to rejoice as we see good fruit come about from that, even if it should mean suffering on our part. This we all pray in Jesus' name. Amen.